Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I'm joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard, as well as we have a special guest today, Dr. Henry Cloud. Are you there, Henry?
I've got you, but I got I'm on the road. I have a little bit of an echo.
We're going to have you in stereo, Henry. And all of us.
Hey, the more Jill and Becky you have the better.
Yes, we miss you, so we love it.
Well, I tell you, Steve isn't able to be here today, but Henry, he said it's only fitting that the most trusted Christian psychologist wrote a book on trust. And he said, he added, it's good, trust me. And I just thought, you know, that's Steve humor.
I wrote one too.
Well, we truly are celebrating this today, Henry. It's really an amazing book. We were able to look at the preview, and I know, Jill, you were talking about it as well. And I just, it is such a needed resource for so many people, no matter where you come from. And, you know, you've written so many books that have helped so many people. What was it about trust that you thought, you know what, we need to put this out there. We need to help some people.
Oh, gosh, what a big topic. You know, I'm not smart enough to go sit on a rock and say, what's a great idea to, you know, to write about? I've always, you know, when asked about that, I've always said, I'm really not an author. I don't write books. Mm. The work writes the book. That's just been the case, you know, for all the stuff I've written. What happens in the real work of life change, whether you're working, you know, with individuals or couples or even, you know, businesses, is in that work, there are certain realities that tend to emerge over and over and over that are so robust and are just demanded to be focused on in order for anything good to happen. And what I was seeing a lot of times in both when somebody's trying to decide whether or not to trust someone, or in a betrayal or a breakdown of trust, that's a very confusing moment. And there's so many, you know, you got two options. One is I could lose this if I don't trust him and end it or, you know, shut it down. But if I go the other way, I could really get hurt again, you know. And I just thought, in so many situations with people at that moment, I thought, you know, it'd be really helpful to have a GPS, like a little roadmap of what are the steps and what are the boxes I need to click to go forward or not go forward.
Right. You know, Henry, when I got your material on your new book, I went, oh my gosh, I can't believe you haven't written on this before, because it is so foundational, and yet it's so timely, I think, in our world right now, where there's such a lack of trust, just, you know, globally, on the big screen, but then also personally, and anybody who's ever been betrayed knows how hard it is to trust again.
It's so true, and
I want to talk about the timing of it in a moment. I think there might be a God thing in there.
I love that. And, you know, because we're so happy for this book to come out to help so many people, for a gift of any amount to New Life, we are going to send you a copy of Henry's book, Trust. And the subtitle, Knowing When to Give It, When to Withhold It, How to Earn It, and How to Fix It When It Gets Broken in Life and Business. It covers the whole gamut. We're so great that we're so grateful that you're here, Henry and Jill. And I know we're going to help a lot of people as we talk about trust today. And, it is something that we talk about with people all the time. We're going to find out how to move forward in it. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown and two of my favorites, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud, who's our special guest today. We are celebrating the launch of his new book,
He's
Trust.
Not really a guest. He's an old timer.
That's right.
We're
that's
old
right.
timers. He's even before me.
is that what we refer to ourselves
no.
as? I think it's classic. It's classic.
Classic. Okay. But,
well, but I started when I was three.
Yes, so that's right, that's Henry. It, you were just it, wise prodigy, it. Right?
Exactly. Well, here's the thing about trust is that it gets broken a lot. So how mm-hmm. can we prepare for that? Henry, you were beginning to talk about some of the realities that emerge and, those kind of things for trust.
Oh, gosh. Here's kind of like the double-edged sword. Human beings don't have a choice in one sense because you're literally wired by God. For trust. He has put all sorts of mechanisms throughout your whole system, biologically, neurologically, physiologically, anatomically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, to drive us to trust, because God is the only person that doesn't derive life outside of himself. Mm. So for us to have any kind of good thing inside of ourselves, both healing and the fuel and everything we need to grow, we got to get it from the outside. When a baby first pops out, it doesn't look back at mom and go, gosh, mom, was that hard on you? I'm really sorry that, No, what do? They turn around and they go, wee, wee, wee.
Yeah.
Seeing that, right? You guys have been there.
Oh, yes.
And that is the best description. When Jesus described hell, he said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a baby's face. That is hell. Mm. Now, the reason for that is it's the first time they've ever experienced being separated from life.
Mm. Mm.
They've been connected to life for 9 months. All of a sudden, they find themselves with no life inside of them.
Mm.
They've got to get it from outside of them. And God has wired each of us from the moment we're born. All these chemicals begin to kick in, like oxytocin, for example, a bonding chemical, and all these things that are driving our little brains. And then even the all the way down to how you're constructed, the mirror neurons that we have, and the baby looks up and mom smiles and the tone feels a certain way, and we're just propelled to trust. Why? So we can take in the love and the food and everything we need. So we're wired to do this. Now the problem is, because just like a human's wired to walk, once you start walking, you might fall in a ditch. And your walking wiring can get you into trouble. So our desire to connect can also walk us down some bad roads if we don't know what to look for. And that's basically what the book is about. We want to trust, but there's got to be some real boxes to check off so our head and our heart have some kind of a relationship. And then on the other side, hearts get wounded and the trust muscle gets broken. We've got to fix that. And then relationships go bad and we need to fix them if possible. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not possible, but we need a roadmap for that. So that's kind of what it's about.
Well, you mentioned the infant and that separation, and I mm-hmm. think about how much damage to trust occurs in our families of origin, and that we become adults that don't trust because we weren't taught, we didn't have a safe environment. And, I just think we get so many calls from people who are not trusting because of brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's hope. We believe in the God who offers hope. What are steps? Yeah. What are, is that roadmap?
Well, let me just add one more thing. Or we have a trusting family, and we think everybody else in the world came from a trusting family,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
So to your point, Henry, we don't know what to look for because, well, why aren't you trustworthy, right?
Jill, I remember, I must have been in my, like, 20s, and a good friend of mine, we were talking about a mutual friend. They were both older and very successful guys, and one of them got taken by, like, a Bernie Madoff, scandal for gazillions of dollars. And I turned to my friend and I said, he's so smart. How did that happen? He said, you know what his problem is? He never had anybody lie to him before. He doesn't know what it looks like. And so you're right, Jill. You know, bad people happen to good people, and sometimes people are wired to trust in such a way that they just can't believe that everybody's not trusting like they are, and they get taken. And so that's a big problem. But Becky, back to your point, you know, about where we learn to trust. And this happens in people's relationships with God as well. Mm-hmm. And the scriptures clearly tell us this. David said in the Psalms, God, you taught me to trust you at my mother's breast. That is the first experience of the trust muscle being formed. And that's so full of meaning because the baby is trusting a person and learning right then that God provides love and things we need through people. And so when the people abandon you, reject you, aren't there for you, molest you, you know, leave you, treat you poorly, your system is learning, I can't trust anybody, God or people. And then God can't provide for me the healing. I mean, you guys better than anybody know. When people come in to see you with depression, anxiety, addictions, that a big first step is getting them even to feel safe enough to be vulnerable to trust you. They're back at the mother's breast again.
And I also think that we have to be ready to understand that not everybody has the ability to trust because of those broken parts of us. But there's hope. You know, you talk about the roadmap, you know, Henry, and one of the things that I think is interesting is, you know, when we think about those five ways, what are the five essentials of trust? That was what the word was. It is so important for us to really integrate that into our everyday understanding for all kinds of reasons. Can you talk more about those five essentials of trust?
Well, you're exactly right in saying that it's so essential for us to integrate. I mean, it doesn't matter what context you're talking about. If you're talking about a parent who's trying to get a kid to follow them, the first essential is understanding. Trying to get the spouse to get close to them and get along with them, the first essential is understanding. And what do we mean by understanding? You know, a lot of times we think, oh, yeah, I understand you. I understand what they need, this and the other. But that's not understanding that builds trust. Understanding, I mean, that's what espionage agents do.
Yeah.
Right? They understand the
exactly.
enemy.
Exactly. So, right, sure.
I think the enemy got him.
Wait, Henry, we lost your audio.
We lost you. Dang, right on the cliffhanger, too. So he's talking about understanding, and there's a certain type of understanding, right? I mean, certainly from people that aren't trustworthy, they may know you, I think he was alluding to, Becky, but that's not what we're talking about, right?
It's it's like what he said about the spies. You know, it's like you can have somebody who's, you know, trying to understand you for their benefit.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. But someone who is understanding out of a place of love and care and wanting to know you and wanting your best, that's a different type of understanding. And I know Henry will clarify it more, but that's a really wonderful thing. And when you have someone like that who isn't out for self, right, then you can feel truly known, and a safe place can develop. And that's what we do in therapy, right? We're really trying to understand. We're not invested in the outcome or or the person thinking the way we do, right? We're really trying to get behind their eyes and see the world how they see it.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
That...
Sorry.
We lost you. Okay, I was trying to fill in, Henry. I don't know if I got it right.
Well, I don't know what the last thing I said was, but it does start out with, you know, if that spouse has been trying to tell the other one for 5 years, I feel alone.
Yeah.
You know, I feel hurt. And they're just negating them and not hearing it. And the key thing, they're trying to persuade them. But we don't get somebody to trust us by persuading us. We get somebody to trust us when they understand that we understand how they feel, what they want, what they need, what hurts them, what makes them happy. Mm. And all of those things, that's when the system begins to first let go. And so this understanding thing is huge. I was talking to a guy on a plane. So, you know, I'm really struggling with my teenage daughter. You know, teenagers are rebellious And what I've learned is, you know, teenagers need boundaries. Have you ever heard of those?
Talking to King Boundary, right?
Exactly.
I said, well, yeah, you know, teenagers do need boundaries, but tell me what they did. He said, well, she's acting out, and we just need some really strong boundaries on her. Mm. And I said, well, what do you think's driving her acting out? He said, what do you mean? Well, teenagers are rebellious. That's what they do, and they need really strong boundaries. And I said, well, I know they need boundaries. So what do you think driving that behavior? So what are you talking about? I said, well, have you ever sat down and asked her what it's like to be her in her class? Are there some mean girls there? How's it going with her friends? What's it like and being compared to everybody all the time? And here's a question, Dad. If you ask her, you ever ask her, what's it like to be on the other side of me as your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we can go there, as the Proverbs say, a person's heart is a deep well of intentions, and the wise person draws them out. And that's why I try to persuade somebody before we understand what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, what they need, what they don't need. We're just not going to get there. And that's a big part of, you know, making a decision about, you know, talking to the singles out there, if you're dating and you go home after the date and you feel talked to or negated and never really heard, then, you know, I'd go back on the app and find another one.
Do you know, Henry, what you just said about the teenage father, the father who's got the teenager, that is a building block. Because if he can ask her those questions, he's going to teach her about trust as well. That she can trust him, that she can then seek out trusting relationships. And, you know, we get calls all the time about, you know, trying to deal with kids and all those kind of things. But the broken trust is at the core of a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of resentment, and that lack of safety in the relationship.
You're exactly right. I mean, you can't get away from needing to first establish that connection. I was talking about this one day in a leadership conference, and a guy walks up to me and he says, I'm the lead hostage negotiator for the FBI.
Wow.
And everything you just talked about is our training program. He said, when a guy's got a bomb strapped to him and 25 hostages in a bank, we don't go in and tell him, you know, this is a dumb idea. We go in.
We don't go in and set a boundary, right?
No, we don't. That's exactly right. We go in, and the first thing we say, you know, I'm Joey, and they sent me here to talk to you. Tell me your name. And then they give his name and say, and they ask a question. So tell me, how did we get here today? What's going on?
It's powerful.
And they start to listen. Mm-hmm.
Well, if any of you have a call about trust and you want to talk to Henry and Jill, call us. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, one of the things that we help people with all the time is every man's battle. We've got men who are struggling for sexual integrity, and then the break of trust they have in their relationships. We've got every man's battle coming up this weekend in Washington, D.C. There's still time for you to get there and make a difference in your life and your family's life. We also have Courageous Parents online workshop, which is this Saturday.
We do.
And I know. Jill's going to be speaking at that. And, you know, this is also, just like we were talking before the break, about the breach of trust mm-hmm. within family relationships. You know, so we want to help you get to a better place in your relationships. And, you know, Henry, one of the things that you write about in trust, you talk about willingness to be questioned is a good sign of a trusting relationship. And yeah. You know, when we talk about every man's battle and the broken relationships there, you know, that's one of the things we talk about is you have to be an open book if you are a trustworthy person. But, you know, unwillingness is a sign, isn't it?
You know, you have just, you know, so what'd you do? Just go through the book, say, let's see
yes.
the ones where the most pain is, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm brilliant that way.
The problem is there's so many of these, but you know, the book will give you a lot of red flags to watch for. And who hasn't heard this? Like, just take a work scenario. How many times have you heard, you know, something doesn't seem right? They said they were going to go have this meeting or whatever, then you found out they're not there, or an expense report comes back and the numbers, there's something just makes you feel like, what's wrong with this? So you go ask the person, and their immediate response is, so what, you don't trust me? You're questioning my integrity?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you heard that? Or from a spouse? Mm-hmm. You know, you said mm-hmm. this or that. So you don't trust me? Well, now I don't.
Right, exactly.
Thank you for telling
there's
me
no
what
room
I was
to,
concerned about.
To
right.
be curious, right?
Yeah, if and even if there's nothing to hide, okay, that response is a narcissistic entitlement. Mm. Like, I am entitled to not be questioned. I am entitled for when something looks confusing to you, I'm entitled to stand above that and judge you for being confused.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just ridiculous. You know, David said in the Psalms, let a righteous man strike me. I will consider it as a gift. And when they came and questioned him, and you see this, He's validating, at least of somebody's, you know, concern or something. And he's open. I mean, why wouldn't you want your spouse having the passcode to your phone?
Right, you know, right, right.
Or go on your computer if they need to use it or whatever. And then
right.
some people won't do that. So, well, you don't trust me. Well, no. I mean, maybe, but when 2 and 2 look like 5, help me with my confusion. And the
exactly.
only way to help me with my confusion is to let me see what's going on.
Right, right. So true.
That was a big red flag.
Well, we do have a call. Priscilla's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, Priscilla. I'm glad you called. What can we help you with on the topic of trust?
Why do some people over trust and get repeatedly hurt and in trouble?
Well, that's a great question. Probably most of us can point back to at least once in our life where we've done that. And there's a number of reasons for it. I want to go back to what we said earlier. Well, basically because we're propelled and wired to trust. Look, everybody on this listening to us right now has been breathing for the last minute, at least, right?
Hopefully.
You weren't even thinking about it. because your system determined all the way down your spinal column and in your gut and your lungs and your heart and everywhere else, it's determined the air is safe to trust. So you just do. Well, if you smell a gas fume, your system hits pause and holds back. Well, that's if your system is working correctly. But a lot of times through, you know, as Jill and Becky were saying earlier, through patterning that we learn in early relationships, one of the big ones you hear is popular now is gaslighting. You know, somebody grows up with relationships that gaslight them or negate their reality. In other words, I smell a fume and I say, something smells in here. And the person goes, no, it doesn't. What's wrong? That doesn't hurt. That's not a big deal.
Right.
You're systematically talked out of your senses. And so that ability to recognize things gets broken. One of my favorite verses is in Hebrews 5. It says this, that solid food. Now, what's solid food? Well, marriage, relationships, dating, work. Solid food is for the mature who, through experience and practice, have had their senses trained to discern good from evil. And we can get trained out of our senses for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's need. You know, if you've ever met somebody who's really lonely and they've been looking for a relationship, and all of a sudden somebody comes on and tells them they're wonderful and the guy's a total narcissist, but the need is so great that we idealize somebody or block out things, the greater our need sometimes.
So true. Yeah,
that can really, really happen. As well as we all get duped. I mean, you can't blame the victim, you know, because bad people happen to good people. And even a lot of times in that, though, you know, we look back sometimes and go,
we'll be right back, Henry. You can finish in a minute.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown. I'm with Dr. Jill Hubbard and our special guest today, Dr. Henry Cloud. And we were rudely interrupted by that break. Henry, you're in the middle of some wisdom.
Right. And why do some people overtrust?
And one of the things that you said that I thought was so profound is that we all get duped from time to time. So it's not like, you know, we're in...
None of us are immune.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if you wanted to finish that thought.
Well, you know what? You so feel for, and we've all been through them too, feel for ourselves. We feel for people that I mean, they really, really got duped because you got somebody who looks good. And one of the interesting things you see happen in marriage, for example, is the heart, like the Bible says, is deep waters. And somebody can form a relationship and, you know, be pretty good and wonderful and then maybe get married, you know, not too long after or however long after. But the deeper the relationship goes, the deeper aspects of the heart begin to get attached. It's like a root system. It goes into deeper parts of the heart. And that's where the bad stuff is. And so it doesn't come out. You know, sometimes and compartmentalized parts of a person will begin to act out after many years, and so it does happen you know, to, you know, totally responsible, good people. They just got to, I mean, how did, one of the things I wrote about in the book on how the dynamics of this happened and what to watch for is, how did Bernie Madoff get the smartest people in the world for, I want to say, like 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
To give tens of billions of dollars. These were not idiots who gave them that money. And it's not like they don't have vetting organizations of where to put their money. But the lying and the deception was so stellar. That some good people got duped in. But so many times, like you guys are saying, you know, the more we grow, the Bible's so clear about this. Go to Psalm 101, and David gives you a map there. He lists, and I'm going to say, I don't know, 8 or 10 kinds of people that he will not trust. He said, I don't even want them around me. I will have nothing to do with them. And he says, liars and people that, gossip and talk about other people, people that are arrogant, narcissistic, and proud, people that are not faithful, people that lie. He said, people that pervert things, people that twist love. Perversion means to twist something. He said, I don't have anything to do with them. And then he flips it and says, it's the people that do the things that God desires. Listening, love, compassion, faithfulness, responsibility. He said, those people are the ones who will minister to me, i.e., those are the ones I will trust. And he says, they are the ones that will dwell with me. He will build a community around him of trustworthy people, because that's where life is going to come from.
Yeah, that's so powerful. Priscilla, I'm wondering, you're asking this question, and I'm wondering if you're one of those people who has over-trusted in your life.
And just listening to what Dr. Cloud was saying, it reminds me that my dad was a really good lawyer and kind of persuasive and
Well, yeah, and here, so he's a primary relationship, right? One of your first relationships. And so we're supposed to be able to trust our dad, right? God gave us a mom and a dad, and so that we could start life there. And when you can't trust
Priscilla, then you get formed as a defendant.
Yeah, that's true.
You're having to defend yourself against this prosecution.
Oh, man, he could, you know, sell ice to Eskimos, and but he did some good things, too, in his legal practice. He did.
Sure.
I love, Henry, how you
and
said...
And isn't that confusing? Isn't that confusing?
When
And that's the way it is. I mean, look, Satan showed up and looked like a good guy. And so a lot of people who actually are good people in a lot of ways, and that will lure us in too, but we just, there's, you know, that's why I made this checklist. Like, you got to go down and check off some boxes depending on the context you're going to trust somebody for.
That's so powerful. Priscilla, we're glad you called. We're going to send you a copy of Henry's book, Trust, and we appreciate it. Now, Henry, we got another call that I think we want to go there. Her name is Sophie. She's calling from Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, Sophie. I'm glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi. I want to say, first of all, thanks so much for your program. I've listened for years and really appreciate Henry, John, Steve, you all, Jill. Just a real ministry to me. I had one question about how do I grow in my trust with the Lord, and then with the last caller, I thought of another question that that maybe is more pressing, and that is when you have family members who have let you down or hurt you, I feel like I've worked on forgiveness. And I'm a little unsure as to whether to trust them again, and how to determine that.
Okay, so Becky's not the only genius, because you're pulling out another one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's this is one of the biggest misconceptions. And it also plays into the betrayer's demands sometimes. And that is the lack of the differentiation between forgiveness and trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a timeline differentiation. Forgiveness has to do with the past, what's already happened. And what it does for you is it gets the wounding of what that person did to you out of your system. That's why God has wired us to be able to grieve and to be angry and to get all that out. And he says, we're going to cancel the debt of the past. Okay? I'm going to forgive you. Forgiveness is free. And it takes a minute, but forgiveness is free. But trust is earned, and trust has to do with the future. What am I going to do tomorrow? Well, I can forgive you for the past, but if I'm going to ever trust you again, there's got to be a new path. So there's going to be some time where maybe a year from now, well, he was untrustworthy, but in the past year or two, here's what I've seen. Now, notice I didn't say you trust. It's not until some things have really been vetted and have a track record that we start to trust again. And here's what happens when I say, this is a big problem. Somebody comes, oh, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I feel so bad, and they sound so committed and all this, and they may be, but that's like a New Year's resolution. And we know, just because the calendar changes, the person has not changed. It's the same person. So they're going to be pulled in the same ways going forward until they get rewired. And so forgive. You'll have a horrible life if you don't. But vet before you trust. And don't the day after somebody says, I'm sorry, on an egregious betrayal, just say, okay, we're good. Let's just hit redo and pass in the past, let's go forward. Well, that might not be smart because you haven't seen what it's going to take to really show you that trust makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that kind of fits with Priscilla's question too, I think, right? We can forgive the past, but we don't just blindly then trust.
Well, what about the topic of growing?
Go ahead.
Well, Sophie's other question is, how do we grow in the trust with the Lord? Because our human relationships impact our spiritual relationship with God. And so how do you... Okay, so there you go. All right, you two, fix it.
Well, you know, I'm going to remind us of what that verse said earlier. God, you taught me to trust you at my mother's breast. And you know, we have the only faith that is incarnational. What that means, carne means meat or flesh, that God became flesh. And you go to 1 Peter 4, for example, and it says that when we are loving one another and helping one another, using our gifts with one another, we're administering the grace of God in its various forms.
Love
and
that.
So, as people are, you know, they go to a New Life weekend, for example, or go see a New Life counselor or find a good counselor, sometimes the first step is only in a protected environment where you learn what it feels like for God to understand you. Because as Paul said, when I was depressed, God who comforts the depressed sent Titus to me. And so we got to be rewired by not only God and his character and his track record, but by him living out that love and compassion where we can experience and get rewired with our feet on the earth.
I love that. We'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you joined us today. It's been a special time with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're talking about his new book, Trust. And we were finishing up with Sophie and Jill.
Well, I just wanted to chime in, too, about growing in our trust of the Lord. In order to grow in trust of anyone, you have to be in consistent relationship with them, because you have to have experiences that will build trust right. over time, right? So you can come in not trusting, but it's like, okay, put your toe in the water and then watch and see. And look for ways in which God shows up in your life. And also be careful not to put on God what is really about man. People let us down. People are not trustworthy. Now, God doesn't always answer all of our prayers in the way we would want him to, and sometimes that's really confusing. But if we lean in and say, okay, God, I'm going to see where you show up over time, and we don't back away,
yeah.
right, and draw our wrong conclusions, right, and go
into
protective
that.
Mode.
So, yeah, I love that.
So,
well, you know...
You're so right, because, you know, our mind, part of the book was, talks about our minds build mental maps mm-hmm. out of experience to know when we can move forward with somebody, when we can't, based on what happened before. If you go to the scriptures, so many times when God says, trust me, he says what? Remember when you were slaves in Egypt and I brought you out with a mighty hand. Remember when I parted sea. Remember. And he's saying, look, I've got a track record here. Now, in our own lives, we don't have a track record until, like Peter, we step out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, yeah, I believed in God, and I was kind of a Christian. Childhood, sort of. But I wasn't 2 feet in, really, until college, when I hit the pavement. And I had to step out of the boat. And I remember when I fell on my face and said, God, I need help. I don't even know if you're there or not. I had to take that step, and nothing happened. And it was the loneliest moment of my life. I was expecting to get zapped like those people on TV, you know, just go down. Wow, but nothing happened. But then right after that, you know what happened? I went back to my dorm room, and the phone rang. It was a friend of mine. He said, you know, I don't know why I'm thinking of you. You're the last person I would think of. But we're starting a Bible study at the fraternity house, and I'm going to invite you. And you'll see when you start to get out of the boat, it might not be what you're expecting. It may be, but it may not be. But I tell everybody here right now, if you're not of faith or are of faith or been away for a while or you're in crisis, the first step out of the boat is just to say, God, I need you. I'm not even sure you're there, but please show me. And I'll watch for you. And when I see you beginning to show up, I'll take the next step. And like, you know, like you guys said, we're building our own track record with God.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, you know, one of my favorite verses, which also is Larry Sonnenberg's, is Lamentations 3:21. Great is thy faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, is the faithful love of the Lord. It never ends. It never ceases. And he does have a good track record. Larry has a good one, too, and he joined us in the studio for just a few minutes. Larry, what do you have for us today?
I want to be brief, but I have to do just a little bit of business, so...
Your mic's not on.
I'll borrow Jill's. Just got to do a little business quickly. I know you got a lot of calls, and Henry, thanks for being here. I'm not going to ask for money today. You all know that we need it, so thanks if you can give it. But there's two workshops this weekend I want to just remind folks of. We're doing a live workshop in D.C., Washington, D.C., Every Man's Battle. You all know the problem that is. You guys know. Your wives know. Call us and get some help. We can help you. And then we've got a Courageous Parent workshop. And Henry, I think you ought to have Tori do this one. You told me you've got your daughters are getting up there, and you've got adult kids, and they can be rebellious. And I know you're on the road. You're on the road, but this is a great workshop with Steve, Jim Burns, and Dr. Jill Hubbard. So join us for that one, online one day, Saturday. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. You know, Henry, I'll let you speak to Larry about his opinion of your parenting skills. So let's just, we'll go with that.
Thankfully, my kids are way better than my parenting.
Yeah, exactly. So you lucked out.
Great is my faithfulness, God.
That is the grace of God. I for sure could speak about that. You know, I think, you know, what we are so encouraged by our walk with God and as we grow in our faith and trust in the Lord, it can be, I love the story that you just told, Henry, about, you know, how God's timing to have a friend call you right at that moment. And for us to continue to look for those interactions, it's very similar to what we're talking about in humans. As well, it's that long track record. Your actions speak louder than your words many times. A lot of people that we help with so many breaches of trust, they'll say, but I want to trust them. I don't want this pain of distrust to be in our relationship.
And you know, when we have broken trust muscle, we have confirmation bias. I mean, our brains are looking, we're hypervigilant, we're looking for something that's going to tell me to move away, and the first thing that doesn't feel exactly like what we need or want or expect, then we go, well, see, I told you you couldn't trust. And one of the things that I've learned in my life is that if you go to Netflix, all right, and you got the movie, you know, and you hit pause, you're going to see a gazillion little squares up there with individual themes, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you go watch any romantic comedy. It starts out great, and then, you know, at some point, you're going to get to a scene where he goes to the bathroom, she picks up his phone, she sees a text from his ex, and she's instantly heartbroken, and before he gets out, she grabs her stuff. She runs down the street to her apartment. She gets on the plane. She flies to Minneapolis.
That's it.
And volunteers
in a snowstorm.
In the Hallmark. in the Hallmark, the uncle's store. His wife just died, needs help, and it's over, and everything's terrible. And he's sitting back there, you know, a couple of scenes later, and he's with his friend. I don't know what happened. I mean. She was calling, asking for the name of that doctor that we saw. She lost his number. I didn't betray her. And then he's got to work his way back, and she's not going to believe it. And then in the end, you know, they get happily married. Well,
right.
sometimes with God, at a moment, we step out of the boat, we trust him, and it looks horrible what happens next. And terrible. Joseph got thrown in prison for all those years. But there's a longer movie here. And the trust muscle of faith is about having hope. Hebrews 11 says, having hope in what I can't see. And knowing God wrote the movie, and he's already read your last scene where there's a banquet, but sometimes it's so hard in that bad scene to continue to hit play.
That's
and
it.
Trust in that he's going to show up.
Well, there is more to come. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Jill. We are going to continue this conversation. If you want to call us with a conversation about trust, 1-800-229-3000. For a gift of any amount, we'll send you Henry's new book, Trust. We're so glad you joined us today. Thanks, Henry. Thanks, Jill. We'll see you next
Thanks
time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.